Aaron, don't drink straight out of the bottle.
No?
No.
I shouldn't? Damn it.
That will always end badly.
Hold on, let me do a five count real quick. Oh,
can I do a prayer? Can I do a Pastafarian prayer for the beginning of our broadcast?
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the weekly wind down. I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm Jean, the feisty feminist.
I'm Erin, the geeky gilville who's mopping up her vodka spill.
You have more alcohol incidents on this podcast than fucking BevMo.
You know what? I feel like that's my shtick. You know, don't take that away from me, Jackie.
That's your shtick? Is spilling alcohol everywhere?
You know?
The Stacys aren't with us this week. One of them is at a homecoming parade, and the other one's doing something for cheerleading. It's probably a homecoming parade also, actually.
I feel like cheerleading and homecoming go hand in hand, right?
And guys named Biff.
Oh. Or like Kevin? No, Josh? Josh feels like a...
Josh? I would say Brad.
Brad. Oh, yeah, Brad. Or Chad. Chad.
Ad.
Chad.
Chad and Brad. Chad. It's something
Chad
about the ad.
It makes me think of Florida because of the hanging Chads. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't want to look at a hanging Chad. No. He doesn't sound healthy.
He doesn't sound healthy.
Especially when the Chads get like right in your face.
Fuck those Chads.
Ew.
The sweat. Yeah. Okay. Tonight, I just started drinking, unlike some people on the podcast.
I would like everyone to look around them. It's not me.
It's We should have Erin do one episode completely sober so people can see what she's like sober.
People would be like, nah.
Recognize her.
Yeah.
Nah, I don't like her.
Be like some weird version of the Matrix where we brought in a different Erin. One that kept all the liquid in her mouth.
It's gotta be Keanu Reeves doing Erin right now. You're right. It is. He's lame.
You'd be a terrible straight girl. You can't keep any liquid in your mouth.
Jackie, you know how this ends for both of us, don't you?
What?
We're ultimately going to have to slice off parts of our liver and give it to Erin.
I don't think you want our livers.
That's what's called true friendship. True fucking friendship, right? Like, no one else would give me part of the liver.
I need all my liver. You're not getting any of mine.
You just give me, like, a sliver of your liver.
A sliver. Just a sliver. Just a sliver of your liver. So tonight, I am drinking, I'm drinking two different kinds of hard seltzers. I'm drinking Truly pomegranate fruit, and then I'm going to switch to White Claw natural lime.
Because you're not white enough right now.
This is my attempt at being the most basic of basic white girls, minus the pumpkin spice.
Tell us, I would have totally done it with you.
It wasn't even intentional. It's just what I had in my fridge. So I've been super busy at work and trying to move. So this was what I had. So I know we were going to actually do a whole White Claw episode. I apologize.
Don't worry, we'll still do it.
I know. Don't threaten you guys with a good time. But I'm sorry. This isn't pomegranate. It's passion fruit, and it's very good. You know how some of the hard seltzers don't have a lot of flavor to them? They're just kind of like seltzer water. This one has a lot, and it's probably the best one I've had. So
Truly is the best brand.
Truly,
listen, I kind of feel like Henry's is the best.
I haven't had Henry's yet.
Henry's is very delicious. They have a strawberry kiwi, which is, and a blueberry lemon, which I also like.
Okay. Jean, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a bottle that I pulled
Erin's
out of my
wine
rack.
Speaking some weird African language.
Now you're going to start speaking in clicks. She's going to come in with baskets on her head, carrying Hannah in a basket on her head. I am also keeping the bar low with alcoholic choices tonight. I'm drinking Seven Peaks, which is a California red blend, and it was in my wine rack, and it's been in there for like 6 months, and I think it's a little corked, but that's not going to stop me from drinking it. And it's emblematic of royalty, the crown upon our Seven Peaks.
She's fucking fancy
wine.
Tonight.
Right? Yeah, but it's
just some like laissez-faire, like the crown upon royalty, like.
No, I mean it's cute because it's got like rainbow colors in the crown, but I'm not impressed with this. I'm not gonna be singing this its praises all night. I'm just gonna drink it for the cheap wine buzz.
Aaron, okay, so amaze us with your uniqueness.
I hope no one has listened to us before. Actually, I hope everyone has, but also, I'm drinking Austin's Finest Tito's. Listen to me right now. So I...
And straight up, no doubt.
No. I got it with a Waterloo grapefruit sparkling water. Waterloo! You know.
Whatever. I know that song.
ABBA and I are close. So... I am drinking this for two reasons. One, I love vodka soda. If you've listened to this before, you obviously know this. But two,
it doesn't stain your computer when you spit it all over it.
It stained my wall last week. Let's talk about that.
Let's not.
I had to fucking use a Clorox wipe all over this wall. It was everywhere.
What'd you do? A spit take?
Yeah, you did not.
Hot cross buns.
So we're talking about Stacy playing her goddamn fucking flute like she's a flautist. And Jackie busts out hot cross buns. She's like, hot cross buns. Because that's how Stacy was. She was like so mad. And like I spit the A to Z wine works everywhere. I mean, you can hear it. On the actual...
That's why Hannah's got a raincoat on this time. Like a splash guard over her little snout. Yeah.
Awful, but it was hilarious, but also awful for my computer, also my wall. And tonight, I'm drinking this because I've been on like a low-carb diet. And if you've been on a low-carb diet before, you understand that vodka is the best thing for you. Partly because it gets you drunk quicker. Also, it has no carbs. So you're good.
We make no official endorsement of vodka being the best thing for you.
No one else does, but I do. If you want to take it up with me, I got you, girls.
All right.
One guy.
So, I have been buried at work and moving, so tell me, what is going on in the world? Jean first.
Oh.
We can't crack your can yet, Aaron.
I gotta write down what I'm obsessed with because I don't want to forget it. All right, so I
don't know how many people know this or not, but I'm an agnostic. I have a very low opinion about organized religion, and I will not be ashamed at all to tell people about it. And this whole religious freedom horseshit that's going on now with fucking Trump and Pence and the religious right. Religious freedom. I got to be able to discriminate against people if my God tells me to. So I've just been disgusted with that. Well, today my faith in religion has been restored up in Alaska, in Homer, Alaska. one of the members of the Pastafarian religious sect, which is a organized religion that worships pasta. The guy who came to the Kai Peninsula Borough Assembly meeting, because I guess everybody gets a chance at an opening prayer at these local assembly meetings in Homer, Alaska. So this guy, who's the leader of the Pastafarian religion, finally got, you know, they had to accept him, because if you're accepting religions, you have to accept all established organized religions. So here this guy is, he's got a colander on his head. That's his hat, which if you're Italian, you know is called the scalabas. So he's got the colander on his head. The scalabas. That's the scalabas. I like a manigotta. You're not going to French your manigotta in the scalabas. You got to do your manicottis. You bake them, and then you drain your macaroni in the scalabas. So anyway, he is sitting before the very dignified panel at the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly, And he got to read the opening prayer for this meeting. And here's how he opened it. So I'm called to invoke the power of the true inebriated creator of the universe, the drunken tolerator of all the lesser and more recent gods, and maintainer of gravity here on Earth. May the great flying spaghetti monster rouse himself from his stupor and let his noodly appendages ground each assembly member in their seats. And needless
what
to say,
only the fuck.
That was his opening prayer. And because, you know, every religion has a right to be respected, he got his turn and he gave the, apparently their god is called the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
Oh.
And so
to each their own.
To each their own. And well, I guess in previous meetings, there was in Alaska, the Satanic Temple had their turn invoking the prayer before an assembly. And it says here that about a dozen people had to leave the assembly chamber in protest when the leader said, "Hail Satan," in her opening prayer. So this kind of gave me a chuckle and it renewed my faith. And he also ended his prayer with ramen. That was probably the best part of this. So my faith in organized religion may have been restored. And now I'm going to start worshiping the Flying Spaghetti Monster because I'm half Italian and I really, really do like pasta.
Which half of you is Italian?
My mother's half. So if your mother is all Italian, that means you basically are all Italian. That's okay. like if you're Jewish. If your mom's Jewish, you're Jewish.
Okay.
Regardless of what your dad is.
Right? Yeah.
Right. Like you're that's with Italians too.
Okay.
So I have a question. Just like a random question. Anyone can fucking answer this. So is there a certain pasta that's better than another?
Don't buy Barilla.
Oh, yeah.
If we had any advertisers, they would probably be getting all up in arms. But since we don't, fuck it, I could say it. The owner of Barilla Pasta made anti-gay remarks and basically said, we don't need gay people buying our pasta. So I said, good, because now you have one less. Even if it's on sale, I won't buy it.
Great value. Here I come. Also, I just meant like, is it like angel hair? Is it like...
Oh, my God. Really, Erin? Are you that not Italian? Angel hair is the... Angel hair is the really, really...
I am fucking Polish. I am so Polish. I eat fucking pierogies.
Galumpies.
I like sausage and sauerkraut.
I love sauerkraut. You know, all right, listen.
List.
There's four types of noodle, long noodles. Here we go. Angel hair is the thinnest.
Noodles,
then you've got spaghetti. Then you got linguine. Then you got fettuccine. All right? Those are all the long ones that you
Wait,
can get.
Same again. Same again. I'm going to take notes. Same again.
You're not listening to me.
Matt.
Angel hair is the very thin kind of pasta.
Yeah.
Then you got spaghetti comes next. And you got linguine. Linguine's a heavier, long one that you could eat the zuppa di pesce with. You got the shells and the clams and all the heavier stuff, so you want the heavier linguine in it. And then, when you really want to get fancy, you do the fettuccine. It's like the long, like the braid kind of.
You guys are like those two senior citizen dudes on the Muppets.
Yeah!
Like, oh, the ones that look like Bernie Sanders?
Yes!
If Bernie Sanders was Italian.
Yeah. You know what? And if Bernie Sanders was Polish. It's like
right,
Italian and Polish. You know, hey, what are you going to do about the fucking fettuccine?
And then there's farfalle.
Oh,
there's
farfalle.
The bow ties, right? The bow ties.
I fucking love the bow ties.
And then you got every fucking kind of tube pasta you could think of. And then you got the shells. And then you got the corkscrews. Come on, there's so many pastas, you never have to eat the same pasta twice in a year.
I have to say in my very Chicago accent, mm-hmm. Let me just tell you right now, like I just said, can you tell me about pasta? You name me four and then you were like, can you give me the fucking bow tie fries and their two pasta. Yeah. If I went into a fucking Italian restaurant and I said, can I get some marinara with some tube pasta? They'd be like, are you fucking kidding me right now? At Maggiano's. Maggiano's, go eat there. That's a really great place, especially in Tampa. My girlfriend works there. Like, you seriously, like, I just feel like there's, like, so many different things for, like, pasta. Like, so as a person who worships the spaghetti god monster.
Right.
What's his name?
I'm a pastafarian, and it's the flying spaghetti monster is my god.
Why is he flying?
I don't know. I didn't create the religion. Okay. I'm just a worshiper of it.
Let's move on.
I have one, though. Like... never mind. Jackie, go.
What? Go ahead, Aaron.
No, I was just going to say, as far as, like, religions go, like, I think it's so interesting because, like, you know, obviously Gina's very Italian. She just licked her fucking wine bottle. For anyone who can't see, she
Everyone can't see.
I know. I mean, you can.
Jackie, you can see.
Whatever, Jackie, with your white claw.
Jackie, you're so basic right now.
I know, right? Like, everyone, no one can see. Well, you know what? You fucking can. So, not everyone, no one, whatever.
All right, so what about my Italian? What about my Italian and my religion?
I'm saying, like for you, like, obviously, like, I could be, like, a pierogi Italian.
No.
And all the pierogies are amazing, and I love, like, plum ones and peach ones and fucking cheese and potato ones and the rice ones and da 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 da. I could be like, all these fucking pierogies are ruling, like.
We're getting a sneak peek into Aaron's, like, wet dreams right now.
I love
She's pierogi. Just got, like, plum pierogies smacking her in the face. Just like falling on top of her. Just like.
And then she gets really dirty with the sauerkraut.
Yeah, just...
You love me some fucking sauerkraut. Let me tell you a story. My mother, who has passed away, don't make fun of
me. God rest the soul, as we Italians would say. God rest. God rest.
She's probably making spaghetti right now. So, like, but, like, the Kraft one, like, the Kraft spaghetti with, like... Never mind. So, like, my mom, she used to make this, like, fucking amazing, like... It was like sauerkraut and sausage, and it was delicious. And she made, like, it was like bacon, and it was like this creamy deliciousness, right? Mm. So, like, recently I was home back in Valparaiso, Indiana, and, like, I asked my stepdad, I was like, hey, do you remember how mom used to make this? And he was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you don't fucking remember her sausage and sauerkraut? It was, like, literally the fucking best. Like, and he was like, well, I think I remember it, but, like, doesn't your, like, my uncle Vitor is a big Polack. Like, this is this thing, like, these are the things that, like, I think as, like, human beings, we forget, like, your parents are the link to your lineage. And so, like, if you do not write down, like, what they know, what they cook, what they do, that's going to die with them. And so, like, as a pastafarian, like, this guy knows that, like, everything that he's learned, all the things that he's he's asked about, these are going to be passed on to then his kids and so on and so forth. I think it's, like, human beings, we need to remember, like, our parents are the living link to our past, whether or not they're Christian or whatever, da da da. It's, like, all about, like, what they're bringing into your relationship with them. Like, what are they bringing in? Like, my mom used to make this meat roll thing. She'd make, like, a meat roll and then, like, pour fucking mushroom soup over it. What is that? Ooh. You know what that is? That's poor people food.
Yes.
That is my grandmother fed her because she lived through the goddamn depression. Like,
pasta vazul is the Italian poor people food.
Exactly. Like, so this is the things that, like, I think is, like, people of, like, we don't necessarily want to subscribe to, like, a for sure faith, but we need to make sure that we learn our, like, parents' lineage and, like, why they do certain things and what is the reason behind it. Like, I will never forget the first time my mom served me, like, a fucking slice of goddamn fucking meat roll. It was literally Bisquick mix and meat roll, and she rolled it up and cooked it and then put mushroom soup Campbell's mushroom soup over the top of it, and that was like dinner.
Yeah, but you were rich. You were richer than my grandmother because they had to use beans for the protein. You had meat.
You know what? We only had meat because my mom was a nurse and my stepdad was a chief of police. If I were still with my, when we were like living with my dad, I probably would have had a goddamn fucking hot dog. Oscar Mayer, not even. It would have been like a Great Value or whatever Town and Country is in Indiana.
Does anybody else find it disturbing that Aaron said the only reason we had meat was because my mother was a nurse?
That's disgusting and also true. Hey.
Okay. So.
Let's change this fucking thing.
What are your guys' feelings about the new allegations coming out against Brett Kavanaugh? And I know that we're all in agreement that it sucks. Not sucks that allegations are coming out, obviously, but sucks that he was rushed to be on the Supreme Court. So I'm going to give my brief thoughts on it, and then you guys can weigh in.
Okay.
But so Supreme Court, any appointment, not just Supreme Court justices, but federal appointments also, when it's a lifetime appointment, I think that we should start taking our time. And I mean this for Democratic president nominees, too. Like, this isn't a partisan belief. But when we look to a place like the Supreme Court to establish, like, the laws of the nation and kind of, you know, they had a huge role in integrating schools and, you know, gay marriage, not just a huge role. They made these things legal, integrations of schools and gay marriage and abortion, all of these things that they're responsible for. They truly are the final shapers of how the country is going to go. And I'm a little bit disturbed, one, because of the allegations, obviously, and everyone should be. But two, I don't think that we give enough vetting time, especially in the case of a questionable choice such as Brett Kavanaugh. I think that in order to sustain kind of the integrity of the court, anytime there's an allegation made that questions not just their integrity, but this is a representation truly of his moral compass. And I want to be clear about this. I'm not saying that there are things that I did at 20 that I'm not ashamed of. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that I've always treated everyone with the utmost respect. I'm not saying that either. And I'm not saying that you aren't entitled to have some indiscretions in your youth. But that's not what these are. And that's what he's trying to play them off as. And it disturbs me that it disturbs me that he's allowed to get away with it. Two, that they're making excuses for him. And three, that once again, we're writing it off as this boys will be boys behavior, which I understand and hit times have changed. And now with the Me Too movement and stuff, less things are socially acceptable than they may have been back in the 1970s or 80s. The point is, shouldn't we be holding Supreme Court justices to a higher standard than David down the street? Now, you know, I'm saying, like, I could meet an individual now that I work with and he could say, I don't think Brett Kavanaugh is that bad because I've done those things too and I would never do them again. I can accept that from just a regular guy that I know as being like, at least you're admitting that you fucked up and that you shouldn't behave like that anymore.
Right.
But he's not even doing that. I think I would feel very differently about Brett Kavanaugh if he were to say, you know what? God, I didn't even remember doing that. I'm so sorry. I have a daughter now. I love my wife. The thought of anyone treating them that way makes me sick to my stomach. And the fact that I put these women through this, I'm horrified that I ever behaved that way. And I would never do it again. Don't you guys think, even though he's a hardline conservative judge, that you would at least feel differently about if he accepted any of what he has done, any, just accept it and apologize?
Yeah, but you know what, that's not how men like that operate.
Agreed.
Absolutely don't. They don't get ahead by admitting weakness. They don't get ahead by apologizing for their manly actions.
But it's not even that they don't, whatever, like, notwithstanding, like, it is the fact that if he did, wouldn't you as a woman feel better? If Brett Kavanaugh said, I feel awful about the things that I did, but this is what I stand for now. Like, would you feel better as a woman?
No, no. And here, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because like Jackie said, it's not Dave down the street or Dave who works in the shipping department admitting this at 50 years old. You know, this is a Supreme Court justice, and they have to be held to a higher standard than the average man. And I got to tell you, when I was a teenager, I hung around with a lot of teenage guys, and teenage guys ever did anything like that to any of the teenage girls that we all hung around with. So I'm not going to give this boys will be boys bullshit a pass. Fuck him. He was a fucking predator in high school and college, and I don't give a shit that now he's a Supreme Court justice. He should not have been. And fucking Susan Collins should never sold out her own fucking gender to have a predator like this end up on the Supreme Court.
Here's what he should have done. And one, I agree with you, Jean. I think that people in certain positions have to be held to a higher standard because we rely on them to make decisions that their moral compass is strictly guided by their interpretation of the Constitution. So you have to know that their moral compass is righted.
Right.
But the only reason it would make me feel better is because then he's publicly saying to all the boys that are like him, this isn't okay anymore. Right. Like I'm telling you right now, I did something wrong and I shouldn't have. And I wish I hadn't, but I did. And I'm resigning my position as a Supreme Court justice because I think I am dishonoring and discrediting the bench.
Thank you.
That's what he should do.
That's what he should have done, and that's what he should do now.
And you know what? If he was a if this was Ruth Bader Ginsburg, they'd be screaming for her resignation.
Oh, please.
Screaming for it.
And you know what? If Brett Kavanaugh was a liberal, he never would have made it past the vetting process.
No, he wouldn't.
Because the fucking Republicans would have devoured him on all that. They would have paraded Christine Blasey Ford in front like she was Princess Diana.
Yeah.
I mean, this woman was as
reputable. And rightly so.
Because you know what? She is as reputable a woman. She was back in college. She is now. She is as professional and has led a spotless life. How these people did not believe her is just disgusting. It's just disgusting to me.
And I hate the fact that we even have to like relitigate this because I know this was painful for a lot of people to watch. And, you know, it opens up old wounds of seeing individuals like this because women of privilege get away with this kind of shit too. Maybe not sexual assault wise because they're just so much less likely. And I'm not saying women don't sexually assault, but they're much less likely to do it for a position of power as much as they're just assholes. And I hate that we have to relitigate this, but I think these women who are coming forward now deserve to be heard now. And I know people are tired of having this conversation, but this is a man who it is not going to be long before abortion is on his docket again. Mm-hmm. And if you can't trust, you know, at least Scalia, as much as I didn't agree with his decisions, at least you knew he was being guided by a moral compass.
Right.
That as much as I thought it was wrong, he believed in and hadn't dishonored. He lived a noble, respectable life.
Right.
Like, so I can disagree with people and still respect them.
Right.
I can't find any reason to respect Brett Kavanaugh. And I think that in and of itself dishonors court. Like Neil Gorsuch, he's as right wing and conservative as they come, but he's a decent human being. There's no reason he shouldn't be on the court besides, you know, Merrick Garland. That's not his fault. He isn't personally responsible for that.
No, that's fucking Mitch McConnell's fault.
Well, it's also the Democrats' fault for not pushing harder.
Right.
The Democrats have some guilt to blame, some blame to share there on their shoulders.
I know, but it's so easy to blame it on Mitch McConnell because he fucking has the last word.
And because he also has a dick in his mouth.
I don't disagree. I just think if we're actually going to overcome Trumpism, not just Trump, but Trumpism, Democrats need to start being real honest about their flaws also and where they have lacked over the years, because I don't think we're good about that.
Fucking yes, that is so true. Because it's so easy to like be like, you need to vote Trump, and then people are like, or you need to not vote Trump, and then like people are like, I'm not, and you're like, but why aren't you? Like I don't want you to not vote Trump just because you don't think it's like the popular thing to do. Like I want you to not vote Trump because it is ingrained in your system, and like these are things that like you need to holistically believe, like that we need as a human population. Like we don't need people telling us that we can't, as a like as a woman population, not have people telling us that we can't have abortions. Like these are things that like have to happen. Like
well, let's look at the 2020 nominees right now. The top three runners are Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren, and Bernie Sanders. Okay. Right now, Joe Biden is in the lead. So let's discuss some of the flaws with that in the Democratic system or in the Democratic Party, I should say, not the Democratic system, capital D, not lowercase d. So the Democrats right now are clinging to Joe Biden, not because he's the best candidate, not because he has the best ideas, not because he's going to be the best person for the job. They're clinging to him because they're terrified of Trump. And that is why we always fucking lose, because we're scared all the time. And they have this misnomer of like, people are like, oh no, Elizabeth Warren is, I love Elizabeth Warren. I wanted her to run in 2016. Told Alexis, if she runs in 2020, I'm going to quit my job and campaign for her. Obviously, I can't do that now because we have a kid. But I love Kamala Harris too. But realistically, Elizabeth Warren is the one with the shot right now. That could change in 6 months. Right now, Elizabeth Warren is the one with a shot. I keep hearing Democrats go, "Oh, she's too progressive for the moderate voter. She's too this. She's too that." Bullshit. One. Because she's not a fucking wizard. She doesn't just get to walk in and wave a wand and pass all of these things. Okay.
Right.
And two, you need someone to push those envelopes to even get to the middle. Because if you have someone in the middle, you're going to end up too close to the right. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, motherfuckers, but we are on the tipping point of global climate disaster. And if you don't have someone in there who supports something like the Green New Deal, and who has a policy and who has a plan and who has an idea of how to get there, we're fucked.
Right.
We're fucked.
This doesn't fucking matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do in the next the amount 20, of, 50 years. It's
what
it's
the
done.
Climate will do to the planet. It would, you'd laugh at what Trump is doing compared to what the climate, the rain of hellfire it's going to rain down upon us, because we've been so gross to the planet for so long. And if we don't get progressive, I don't care how the moderates feel about it, because I'm moderate in a lot of positions. We can talk about moderate policies. Climate change is not fucking one of them. So to me, if you are not super progressive on climate change, I don't give a shit about the rest of your policy positions.
Right.
You stand up there for hours. It's not going to matter. You stand up there for hours debating fucking
Immigration.
Medi-Cal and
fucking whatever.
None of that's
going to
matter if the whole planet's melting. None of it matters.
No one cares if the immigrant is illegal if the planet is 400 degrees. No one fucking gives
a
shit.
And you think we have a problem with immigration now? Wait until there's parts of the world that people cannot physically live anymore. You're going to see mass migration everywhere just for survival.
Right. And you're not going to be able to stop it then.
No, you can't stop it then.
Right. It'll be too late. And then we'll just end up with people climbing over each other just to try to get food and water.
It'll be like World War Z.
Fucking funny is I vividly remember going to the theater to see The Day After Tomorrow. And like people are like, blah, blah, blah. This movie's so lame. Like, da, da, da. This is not based on anything. And like, literally, that is what's happening. Like, that is what's happening. This movie, which was said to be some farce, is exactly what is happening to this planet. And like, that's what's so funny to me is like these people that think, oh, I'm safe in these low, no, like motherfuckers, you're not safe here. Like no one's safe. No one is fucking safe. Like at the end of the day, like climate change, all these things, like you need to get on board or get the fuck off. Like you need to get away and like just do something with yourself, because at the end of the day, like climate change is going to dictate everything to us.
Well, and what I tell people who tell me climate change is a farce and that they don't believe in it and that it's one of it's part of the cycle of the earth, I tell them, okay, let's say that's true. Let's sit on your side for a minute. What's wrong with leaving the planet a little bit cleaner than how you found it?
Right. Right.
Well, who does that hurt? Even if it's bullshit.
It hurts corporations who are the job creators if they have to pay more this and pay more that because of all these climate change policies.
Only the old school corporations. We could be the leader in green energy and renewable energy and technology. If the only people you're holding back is the oil and coal industry. And you know what? Fuck them.
I know, right? Fuck them is right. Did you hear what they're doing over in Iceland right now? The scientists over in Iceland have set up a whole, because they're being hit by global warming the hardest. Scientists over there have set up this system. I just saw it on the news tonight, where they are sucking the CO out of the air and processing it and making it into little blocks that they could bury in the ground. And I mean, they are literally taking the carbons out of the air.
Brilliant.
Turning them into, they look like those little, you know, those little logs that help you start your fireplace.
Yeah.
That's what they look like. And then they put them onto the ground and they bury them. And then that's that. Now, why is a little tiny country like Iceland doing that? And nobody else in you know, the progressive countries of the world doing that?
I'll tell you why, because our fucking president doesn't give a fuck about this planet. He only gives a fuck about his own pocketbook.
And
if it had any sort of like monetary adjustment for him, he doesn't fucking get it.
But here's the problem Democrats get caught up in. This problem will exist once Trump's gone. We have to worry about the entire Republican Party that keeps trying to hit the brake, because there's another asshole waiting in the wings to take Trump's spot that is still going to let companies dump waste into our clean rivers. There's still an asshole waiting in the wings who is all for drilling more oil up in Alaska. There's all these assholes lined up behind him who are trying to accumulate wealth for their family, and they're failing to realize it won't fucking matter. Their families won't be here.
Right.
None of it will matter because the planet is melting. Like and just purely based on capitalism, we should be trying to harness green energy. Like whether you believe in climate change or not, we are going to deplete our natural resources. That is a fact.
Agree.
There is not an endless supply of anything except maybe the sun. And even one day that will stop burning because it's just a giant star. So we have to use what we have available to us. Why not harness something that you get for free, like the sun or the wind or the ocean, and create energy with that instead of taking all this money to drill and transform and create single-use plastics and all of these things that we just waste time and energy doing? Like, I just don't understand it.
The average age of a member of our Congress is in their fucking 60s. They don't give a shit about the future. All they give a shit is clinging to what's left of their power that they have now, clinging to whatever money they could siphon out of lobby groups, whatever, you know, whatever they have to do to get elected for one more term. Most of these, you know, obviously, except for the new squad, the new people who came in and who are young. The diehards that have been in Congress forever, the career politicians, don't give a fuck.
They don't care about our future. They care about theirs.
And you know what? What's sad is that most of them all have grandkids. Don't they even give a shit about that their fucking grandkids are going to walk around fucking breathing out of hoses and you know, not being able to go outside for more than 10 minutes at a time without the fucking sun radiating their skin off? They don't give a shit. They don't think about this stuff because it doesn't matter. It's not what's in their fucking tunnel.
It's because they've never experienced it, nor have they known someone who has. That's, I think, a lot of the problem with, like, a lot of, like, older Republicans is they think, like, the economy needs to be great because my grandmother lived through the Great Depression. Like, okay, first of all, yes. Okay, that happened.
Some of them lived through the Depression.
I know, right?
Yeah, but like a lot of things have changed since that Great Depression happened. You know what I mean? Like a lot of things have changed since the fucking 2008 crash where everything fucking went to shit because people were like the banks and the fucking a real estate crash and all those things. A lot of shit has happened. And I think that's the biggest problem with people in politics is they refuse to see that things happen since they became this person of power. They refuse to see that like things fucking change. Like the environment changes, like the fucking economy changes. Everything changes since you became someone who we put into this place, and you need to adapt to that. And people don't.
Well, one of the biggest issues is, like I was talking to Stacy EY the other day, and we were talking about moving, and we know someone that's moving right now besides us, and they're like, they did it the hard way. They wanted to rent a big truck and load it themselves and like do all this stuff. And I was telling her there's just easier ways to do things now. They have the, you know, pods, you know, whatever. Huh? So just because that's how you've always experienced it to happen doesn't mean there's not better ways now to accomplish the same goal. And the same is true for climate change. The same is true for the economy. The same is true for virtually everything.
All like, the things.
People are amazing individuals. They're innovative. They're creative. They're always thinking up new things. Like, look right now, you know, I guarantee you most of your parents or grandparents, if you ask them what their favorite beer is, they would tell you like Bud or Michelob or whatever. But this generation has done a rebirth of, you know, craft beers and all kinds of wine and hard seltzer. Like when there's a demand for something or a avenue for someone to be more creative and innovative and make something better, people are going to take it. So why don't they understand that when it comes to things like climate change? Just because you've always put 87 gas into your car doesn't mean that the sun is not a better option. Like, it's just, I hate that people get stuck on the, well, we've always done it this way. Yeah, and look where it fucking got us. You tank the housing market. Student loan debt is the highest it's ever fucking been. The polar ice caps are melting. Like, look at what that got you. You used to be able to buy a house for $17,000 and now they're fucking $600,000. Like you're doing it. You've been doing it wrong. You're all coked up in the '80s playing around in Wall Street and now we're all fucked. Yeah. Thanks.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, agreed.
You can't even buy a decent brand new car for $17,000. Never mind a fucking house.
Oh my God. Literally the Wolf of Wall Street is why we fucking hate our lives right now, because this whole idea of like money can come quickly, easily is why we all are like, fuck, I can't even put down money on a fucking car because it's going to be $465,000 or $465 a month. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't.
Well, Ronald Reagan deregulated the banks and he fucked with the reserve, and he's actually the reason that you can't afford a car now. Well, he's part of the reason.
Right.
Everyone after him is guilty of perpetuating the system. Like,
exactly.
He lowered, you know, when Eisenhower was in office, the people at the very top were paying 70% tax rate on anything they made over $5 million, which is the same thing that AOC proposed, and everyone laughed in her face. But if you remember back, that was the greatest generation's time. That's why we were able to build things and pay for things, and things were reasonably priced, is because the richest of the richest of the richest paid 70% tax on money that they made over $5 million, which would be adjusted for inflation now. But you see my point. Like,
yes, I do. And it's no, it's no coincidence that people back in that generation didn't even need to go to college, and they could get jobs in factories and support families and live in the suburbs and have a very happy, prosperous life. Mm-hmm. If you look at, and even if you go back to that time, that Greatest Generation era, and you look at the difference between what CEO salaries were versus the worker salaries, the disparity was much smaller than it is now. Mm-hmm. It's like, In the three-digit percentile increase now, the disparity between what the CEOs and the top 1% of all these, you know, job creator companies make versus what the people who every day who do the work and produce the product that they sell actually take home. And their benefits are always slashed. They're lucky if they get cost of living increases. And meanwhile, you know, the CEOs and the people running these companies are getting bonus on top of bonus on top of bonus. You know, every time that profit margin goes up an eighth of a percent, and the shareholders get to cash bigger checks.
But here's something that, like, is very frustrating, because, like, so my father, before he passed away, he worked for U.S. Steel, which is out of Gary, Indiana, Pittsburgh, you know. So these are, like, big, huge steel companies, you know.
Everybody knows U.S. Steel.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, everyone knows it, right?
And so if you don't, get the there. Fuck out of here.
No, yeah, sorry. Get the fuck out of here. You don't even fucking know who U.S. Steel is. I don't even fucking have time for you. But seriously, like, my thing was with my father is that he literally called me, I don't know, every single night, and told me he was getting ready to take his nightly nap while he was on payroll. Like, these are the things where, like...
What's your point, Aaron?
My thing is, like, I mean, right? Like, I wish I had that fucking job. But my thing is, like, I feel like a lot of these companies put so much money into their employees to give them these freedoms that they shouldn't have been allowed, that has also bankrupted this entire nation. Like my father should not have been allowed to sleep for 6 of his 10-hour workday. He should
was
not
he
have...
an executive?
No, he's dead.
No, was he an executive?
When he was alive, was he an executive?
He drove a Coke truck. So he drove the truck that, like, brought the Coke in that, like,
The biggest con they've ever been able to pull is the people who make $1,000 an hour have convinced the people who make $30 an hour that all of their problems are the people who make $9 an hour.
Exactly.
It's fucking exactly. It's not them.
Jeff Bezos makes $10,000 a second. A second.
He's a piece of fucking garbage. Didn't he just recently slash something else for his employees? I just saw something in the news this week about that. That fuckface.
The fact if he can't pay, imagine if someone who makes $10,000 a second had to pay 70% taxation on everything he made. Let's say $50 million a year. Like, let's really say the top 1% of the 1%. If he actually had to pay that, imagine what that would mean for the public school system. Imagine what that would mean for veterans' health care. Imagine what that would mean for the opioid crisis. Like,
oh, now you're getting all socialist on us, Jackie.
We've always been a Democrat socialist country. I don't know why people are so scared of that word. We've always been. If you like police, if you like fire, if you like teachers, if you like all of these things, you believe in at least a segment of socialism.
Right. But that's what the Republicans, that's the spin Republicans did to stop getting people to vote Democrat. You're not voting for the person who's going to provide better education, better protection from, you know, for police and fire. You're voting for somebody who is going to take all of your money away and give it to poor, lazy people who don't want to work. That is the spin that Republicans have been using on moderates and liberals or moderates and conservatives for a very long time. And unfortunately it works, because most people don't take the extra 3 seconds that it would take to actually look up if this fact that they're telling us is actually a fact or just some propaganda bullshit made to scare us into voting for the Republican.
Let's ignore the fact that 60% of people on food stamps are the elderly and people under 18 years old. Like, that 60% of people. It's like that meme that Stacey sent us the other day that her father-in-law had posted with the there's more people in Los Angeles County than these 25 states combined.
Right.
I took, 7 seconds and was like, let me disprove this real quick. We live in an age where there is more information at our fingertips than anybody has ever experienced in the history of in human history.
Yes.
And yet we have some of the stupidest fucking people sharing garbage. And, you know, back in the 90s and 80s, if someone was like,
wait, can I say something? Like, It's not even the stupid. I'm sorry, Jack. I did not mean to cut. But it's not even the stupidest people. It's the stupidest people in power.
He's not in power, but he's sharing it with a bunch of dum-dums that vote.
No.
That's the problem.
But the original person that shared that was a state fucking representative from Idaho.
It wouldn't have mattered, though, because he would have shared that no matter who it came from, because it aligned with his personal beliefs.
Exactly.
I agree with you, but it's the fact that, like, this person in power originally put it together and shared it, and then all their minions shared it. It's the fact that the people in power are so fucking stupid that it literally makes no fucking difference. It's like, you could put the most, like, legit person in power, but if they say one negative thing or one wrong thing, it's going to spread, because people take, like, this person's whatever they're saying at face fucking value. And, like, that's where, like, you're exactly what you're saying. Like, it's like, you need to research what people are saying, but, like, because I follow this person, I'm going to take what they're, like,
right, whatever's going to forward their agenda.
Yeah, like, the pacifier could be like, I don't like angel hair. I only like fucking whatever the fuck.
No, a pacifierian would never say they don't like
you angel. Don't know. You don't know. But, like, I'm just saying, like, they could be like, this is the lowest form of pasta. But because no one will actually put the research in.
I will always fight for angel hair. I'm an activist at heart.
I love angel hair. It's so thin and delicious.
Back in any time before, 2000, though, if someone said something crazy, you'd have to take them at their word, or, like, take your ass to the library and look it up in an encyclopedia that's 25 years old. Nowadays, you can literally reach into your pocket and pull out your mini supercomputer and type exactly what they said in and see whether or not it's true or false. I just don't understand how there's so much misinformation out there. Like, even when someone I respect says something that I'm like, that doesn't sound right, I look it up.
Yeah.
I look it up because I'm like, where did that statistic come from? Did they say
something?
She's
like, where the hell did Dean get that from?
No, like, right? I've Googled some things when I've been watching Elizabeth Warren talk that I'm like, wow, that seems like a really high number. Is that, where did she get that? I will Google it so that I can find out. I don't understand the desire to want to stay ignorant, even with people I agree with.
Look, you know, because why? It's easier. It's a fucking mass of human population is fucking lazy.
Yep.
They've been fucking spoon fed things for however fucking long, and they just want to be fucking lazy. They don't want to put forth the effort to do like you did and research something that Elizabeth Warren said. They don't want to look at what Trump said and be like, that doesn't sound right. I should probably research that. They're like, nope, Trump said it. It's right. Like, they are lazy. Everyone in this country, except for, like, I would say 20% are lazy. That's just me just spitballing.
I'm going to research
that. I'm going to look that up.
You should probably look it up, because I'm probably...
You're 100% wrong. I can tell you right now you're wrong.
Less. It's less than that.
You're 98% wrong. But you know what? I like that statistic that you threw out there. So I'm going to accept it. And I'm not going to look it up.
Also, vote for me for Congress.
Don't do that. Nobody do that.
Like, I probably wouldn't it fucking suck if I won. I'd be like, I don't know.
That's what Trump said.
I'd be like Trump all over again, except I'd be like state or local. I don't even know.
Aaron, what are you obsessed with this week?
I am obsessed with the movie Hustlers. So I went to see it last night. First of all, it is literally Jennifer Lopez. Oh my God. I have never seen a woman so fucking hot in my whole life. Like, I love women. You guys know this. I'm a lesbian. I'm a proud fucking lesbian. I love
women. To the choir, sis.
Fuck me. Like, Jennifer Lopez. Jesus Christ. She is so fucking hot in this movie. Like, I know she is supposed to, like Hustlers. It's based on a true story. Like, it is literally, she's based on a real person. Like, first of all, the amount of women that are in this movie that are amazing. Constance Wu is amazing. Fucking Lizzo. Let's give it up for Lizzo. Fucking flautist from way back. And also, God damn fucking, are you kidding me? Keke Palmer. Are you kidding me? She's amazing. And Cardi B.
Can I get a Cardi B?
Like, she, like, everyone in this movie is so amazing. Even, like, the soundtrack is goddamn incredible. Like, okay, so one of the things that I want to say about this movie is that Jennifer Lopez, like, she has been around for a long time. Like, she's been around
since
for
Selena.
A year. Yeah, like, she made herself a name. She was the singer that could also act, right? Like, she could fucking bring it, right? Like, and then Geely happened, right? Like, fuck Ben Affleck. Like, he fucking ruined her for a hot minute. And then she came back. She came back and she was like, fuck you guys, I'm going to come back. And she came back with a lot of shit, but the movie that I love more than anything is Shall We Dance with Richard Gere, which is amazing because it was like this total departure from her. She was not like this horrible human being. She was like this very nice, upheld, like, she was like, I know how to fucking do dance and I'm amazing. But like, this movie in particular, I don't know what I'm saying, but like, when they know I'm drunk, they know, because they're like,
everyone knows you're drunk.
I know, but like, what I'm saying with Jennifer Lopez,
they don't even have to know us, know you as well as we do to know you're drunk.
Am I that obvious?
Yeah.
I need to work on my fucking poker face. So, what I'm saying is, though, Jennifer Lopez made me
gay.
Also, yes, but also, she made me so happy that I'm in a world right now where women in power is not a bad thing. Like, they may have drugged men and they may have fucked them over. Totally bad. I get it. But they were in power and they made it so fucking sexy. And did they go about it the wrong way? Yes. But
girls will be girls.
Girls in power does not always have to be a negative thing. Like,
oh, I think drugging and.
Yeah.
Killing and
I agree with you.
A little bit of a negative connotation.
Did was bad, but I'm just saying, like, girls in power does not always have to be bad.
Right.
And like, Jennifer Lopez is hot, so I'm gonna accept anything she does ever. Right. Like, she could like take a shit on stage and be like, that was the best thing ever. But like, my thing is like this. She made it okay for women to take back their power from men.
Okay.
She made it okay. She made it okay.
That was profound. That last statement.
She reclaimed her time.
Yeah. I hope everyone fast forwards with that.
Jean, what are you obsessed with this week?
Oh,
don't say Jennifer Lopez.
I'm not going to say Jennifer Lopez. All I could say is Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, because they just kept popping up on my social media feed. And the season 6 and 7, I guess there's going to be two more seasons of Grace and Frankie before it finally goes bye-bye. But Jane Fonda, I think I've mentioned her before as my obsession. What does it say about me that I'm obsessed with an 80-year-old woman?
Jane Fonda's hot for 80, though.
Jane Fonda is fucking hot. Yeah. And you know what? Talk about a notch in your bedpost. Get an 80-year-old hot woman.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Is it a notch in your bedpost or a latch in your... What is the saying? It's like a in your belt or your bedpost?
Both.
It's a notch in your belt or a notch in your bedpost.
So it's either or.
Yeah. I don't wear belts because there's no reason why I should wear a belt when I got middle-aged bloat going on. it would be a notch in my bedpost to say that I diddled with a hot 80-year-old woman.
Right? Like Helen Mirren.
Oh my God, yes. Did you see that picture of her in the bikini when she was like 70?
Did you see the preview for that one where she's with Ian McClellan with Gandalf?
Ian McCollin, I don't think that's how you pronounce it.
That's probably not how. Ian.
She made him sound Yiddish.
You know what? Jane. It's Ian McClellan.
Is it? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you positive?
Is it Aaron?
His name is Gandalf, motherfucker.
Do you want to put money on it?
I would like to put money on it. Just that one, not the other two.
Siri, what is Ian McClellan?
He's a real hot. If we were with Erin right now, wouldn't we be messing with her 10 times harder than we are
for
right
sure.
now?
Sure.
Yeah. Like, have another lemon drop. And I'd be like, no. I'm good.
I've never seen so one person drink so many lemon drops.
Okay, wait, let's be real here. That was not me. That was Jean.
Okay, listen, it's all fun and games till the trench coat comes out.
Hey, yo. Can I get a dildo in the pocket?
We're gonna have to edit that one out.
Oh, I believe in it.
a little homage to a certain someone
that Gene's hoping to run into
or bump into, whatever.
Stretch
the arm across the back of the chair, get in my mode.
Okay.
What? Most favorite. Wait, Jackie. My most favorite memory of Jean is when she turned on her charm. I've never seen Jean so charming in my whole life.
Wait. Why am I laughing at that? That's not a compliment.
Like, why are you? No, she was like, arm around the chair, and I was like, go, girl. No one escaped.
Jean, were you done with your obsession for the week?
Yes. Because I don't have anything else. I've been writing. I've been napping. I have not had any quality television time.
Can I have one more?
Yeah. If you can do it in 30 seconds or less.
She Unbelievable can. On Netflix.
Okay.
Yes. I want to see that. You're right.
So good. So unbelievable. Nicolette, fucking amazing. I love it. Every single second of it, it's good. Done.
Yeah.
It was 27 seconds. Boom. Bitch. Get out the way.
I'm not really obsessed with anything this week. I'm just like drowning in work and moving, so I guess I'm obsessed with moving.
Wait, so you made me cut mine short because you have nothing?
Yeah. Yeah. What the fuck? Yeah. So I'm probably just moving, trying to close up work so that it's not horrific for the person who comes in after me, whoever that is. My board is letting me sit on interviews for my replacement, which is kind of cool. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm just excited to get this part over and done with and move on to the next. And I think everyone feels like that when they're on like the precipice of moving. So, but I have a lot of stuff to do. I have to replace a bathroom floor. I have to replace the shutters. I have to paint a few rooms. I have to put mulch in the front yard. I have to put pavers down. Like, I just have so much. My dad is coming up next week, though, to help me. He's coming up for Thursday and Friday so that I have some assistance so that I'm not completely drowning because I think he feels bad for me. But, Aaron, we know how Tito's was. Jean, how was your wine?
Oh, shit.
Okay. I would not run out and buy another bottle of this. If they want to send me a bottle for free, I'll take it. But I'm not spending my hard-earned teacher money on another bottle.
Wait a second. Like, this has not been my favorite Tito's moment. Like, what the fuck? No, what I was really going to say is, if you need me to come help, I will.
Help with what?
Like, packing. And I won't be drunk while I do it. I'll come put papers down and like sweat some shit off.
What Aaron am I getting? Tito's getting, Aaron or
you're getting sober and responsible Aaron.
She's
a fucking godsend. She'll get shit done.
I'd like to meet her someday.
Yeah, you won't. Don't worry about it, Jean. You'll never meet her.
Okay.
Jackie, you may have the opportunity.
Jackie. You were gonna drive with me cross country, but you backed out.
fuck you, I never backed out.
You said I'm not taking any more trips until next year.
First of all, you didn't say on the side, Aaron, will you not go with me to fucking California? I would have fucking done that.
You think I'm going to pressure you? Well, I haven't left yet, Aaron. You want to come with me to California?
Yes.
All right.
Why don't you fucking text Gail?
Okay, well, that's it for us this week. We'll be back. Until then, I am Jackie D, the literary lesbian.
I'm G, the feisty feminist.
I'm Aaron the geeky girl.
Bye.